A Jules Verneian Voyage to Kentucky. My mother was French. French-American, as I look back on her lineage now. Good names. Good families. Just like yours. We all have had such similar backgrounds, or I wouldn't be writing, and you wouldn't be reading this recitation. Congratulations to us all. My mother was a Charette, a Henning, a Polk, a Merriweather, and an Allen. It was Anne Allen who settled this Kentucky wilderness in 1795 and gave our farm her name. How often I try to see what she saw in the trees when she got here with her boys, a widow of the wars, a widow winding down that wild Ohio River to the west, and a new home. Did she make her way to the falls, blocking further passage to freedom? With her boys, did she then hike to the headwaters of a creek that once sported bear along its grassy green slopes? To an isolated set of cabins, a pioneer's place, Sturgis Station? Then along the old abandoned Herod's Trace to a place that she had bought, to a remarkably deep place on a curving Clear Creek. There are rivers, too, in France that freed my family there. The Loire runs south from the Île-de-France, through the land of Joan and the Castle of Kings, flowing west, falling away, escaping all of that revolutionary mess. Past Charette's Couffet, through the People's Vendée, and into the trading port of Nantes. Ah, now that is a city of dreams. A city looking out onto a western sea of possibilities, not back past the caskets of revolution filled in by gluttonous guillotines, but to a city of machines, ships, and balloons, even submarines, of extraordinary voyages in the mind of a young Jules Verne, born there in Nantes on February 8, 1828. Verne is still there, and you can sit next to him. Sit next to a bronze statue of a boy on a high bluff overlooking the island city in the Loire next to his museum there. But he's not looking at his home. He's looking at his imagination, looking out to the sea, looking out to the Atlantic Ocean, and in my imagination, looking out to me, looking to the lands of my mother just beyond that remarkable deep place on that Clear Creek right over here. And does not a bronzed Captain Nemo stand there with him? Sextant in hand, he is charting the lands of your next journey. Here are some moments that made the man. Verne was sent to Paris to become a lawyer like his father. This he did, but did not follow. Meeting the son of Alexandre Dumas, he soon fell in love with the theater crowd, as young imaginative men often do. He turned to writing plays and operas. He took up work at the Théâtre Lyrique in Paris. He also began to write short stories for a French magazine. They are a delight to read. You see the future as forming in the mind of the master explorer, writing adventures for you in Castles of California, Martin Paz, the first ships of the Mexican Navy, and Master Zacharias. These got him started writing in the early 1850s, but he was soon to be introduced to the publisher who would unleash his prodigious powers in a series of novels he called Voyages Extraordinaires, extraordinary journeys still waiting for you. Many are familiar, and undoubtedly not all. More than 54, and including more, probably greater than 80 such adventures, all told. Here are some you may know. 5 Weeks in a Balloon, 1863. From the Earth to the Moon, 1865. 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea, 1869. Around the World in 80 Days, 1872. And The Mysterious Island, 1875. Here are some you may not know. The Adventures of Captain Hatteras, 1866. Begum's Millions, 1879. School for Robinsons, 1882. Robur the Conqueror, 1886. The Mighty Orinoco, 1898. The Kipp Brothers, 1902. And Master of the World, 1904. And of course, there is Paris in the 20th Century, written by Verne in 1863, but not published until 1994 after it was rediscovered in one of Verne's trunks by his grandson. Ah, now therein lies a tale, and a good one, that involves his son and soon-to-be author successor. But his first publisher, the reason that his voyages began, and also why Paris was not published when it was first done. To know the publisher, Pierre-Jules Hetzel, is to study French history. Suffice it to succinctly state that he lived in the turbulent times of the French Republic and the Second Empire. That's Robespierre and Napoleon III. Both he and Jules Verne wanted to explore the world elsewhere. Hetzel published works by Balzac and Victor Hugo. He wanted to feature science and adventure stories for the entire family, so he founded the Family Illustrated Library, which in 1864 became the magazine of education and recreation. Illustrations in that magazine would figure in his greatest success, the adventure stories of Jules Verne. So Verne submits Paris in the 20th Century to Hetzel in 1863. It is rejected in unflattering terms. Hetzel wanted travel, adventure, and science, not an ugly dystopian future. Verne then brought him 5 weeks in a balloon. And the world of travel and adventure we explore exploded in his novel. The voyages were born. Hetzel called them scientifiction. Here's how Hetzel described Verne's writing in an 1866 preface to the series. His goal, indeed, is to summarize all the knowledge of geography, geology, physics, and astronomy that modern science has amassed, and to retell, in the attractive and picturesque way that is his hallmark, the history of the universe. I often think about Verne, as I think about things that excite me about the life and landscapes surrounding my home in Kentucky. The enthusiasm of exploration and adventure right here. And I often think of my mother who felt such love of this place. And I remember my wife having a hot air balloon appear before my porch, the bobbing gondola in which I alighted, crossed the creek, and crested the tall wheat stalks, silently sailing across these fine fields of my found home. So sitting on that bronze bench, high above Nantes, I think that young Verne is thinking of me, thinking of what further travels he might bring to cross these seas, adventures that I now write and of which I speak. You see, like you, I sit next to him too.
River nights that came so softly, the West had yet begun. Morning lights that sang a different song to the mountains they had come. Long knives, crazy eyes, they had nothing of their own. Too many people, different way of life, sent them crossing through alone. Beautiful land, described young Dan, poplar trees is wide around. Fields of cane, land yet unnamed, opportunity abounds. River nights that came so softly, the West had just begun. Morning light had sang a different song to the river they had come. running ground, the dark and bloody land. First men through who were rough and cruel, they would wrest it from his hand. River knights that came across the wooded hills, Detroit, Britain spurred them on. Morning light had often sang a somber song, from the blockhouse they would come. Clark had won it, the Northwest was secure. Let's settle down here where the glaciers never stood. Flood of people pushing on along, 100,000 settled in a 1791. River nights they were so busy, river traffic was so strong. Morning light it sang a building song, to the falls they had come. Cane Tuck called this place my home, mounds and hay fields and a plenty of room to roam. Any more pioneers, I hope they move along. This place is paradise, I'll defend it as my own. River nights that come so softly, the West has passed along. Morning light, it sings a different song, down in Shelbyville where I'm from. Thank you.